So I'll go through a couple of the notices in the bulletin. We are having a congregational meeting today after the service, so please join us. We'll begin that meeting after the fellowship time this morning. And we do have our annual general meeting on February the 26th, again after the service. And there's a letter there from Michelle, who was baptized last week, just thanking everybody for the time of celebration that we shared with her as she made her profession of faith and entered the waters of baptism. And there's a note there from me. I just want to thank Tanis. Tanis isn't here yet, or maybe not here this morning. It's Tanis who put together all those flags for last Sunday. And we represented 14 different nations that are here in this congregation, which is quite remarkable for such a small congregation to have people from 14 countries around the world gathering here and worshiping together. So special thanks to Tanis for putting that together. Okay, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us into worship this morning.
My week too much, and I use it almost as kind of like a ground. So let's meditate on it for a second. And what he said was, Lord, I am what you say I am. Lord, I am what you say I am. Lord, I am what you say I am. It doesn't matter what we were or what labels we put on ourselves. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. So I invite you now, let's submit to that. Let's submit to the Spirit and invite him in, because through the Spirit, we will be transformed into what the Lord says we are and what the Lord says he wants us to be. Sin does not have the last word. Grace does.
Interesting how Lisa introduced that song this morning with memory of being at a youth retreat. It was at a youth retreat when I was an adult leader that I finally came to Christ. I was working in the Anglican Church. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I worked in the Anglican Church in youth ministry. I did that for about 30 years. And thank you, Stephen. I was at a youth retreat, and I was one of the adult leaders. It wasn't for me, it was for the youth. And one of the men leading one of the youth workshops asked the teenagers a question, and I was sitting in the back listening, and the question was, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And that's when the light went on, and it was just an amazing change that came over me, was that was what was missing. Yes, I've been doing the church thing all my life, but I hadn't actually stepped across the line and received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So youth retreats are the place to be, if you're a youth or an adult, they're the place to be. It's where you hear the gospel. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward now and take up our tithes and offerings, and our praise team's going to lead us in Let It Be Said of Us. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for all of your blessings upon us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, teach us to use them prudently and wisely for your kingdom work here in Newmarket and beyond. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, can I have the children, young people, come forward, please, to the front pew. Thank you, Stephen. Oh, good morning. You guys play hockey, don't you? Rough game? Any name calling going on during hockey? Sometimes. Just kind of nice names. Wow, that was a good shot. Or rougher names. Both. Right. Yeah. It's tough. A lot of name calling going on. You disagree with someone, so you besmirch them with a negative name. Besmirch means you denigrate them, you put them down with a negative name. But that's not your name. And someone calls you a loser or calls you, I won't say some of the other words, but they call you something nasty. That's not your name. Those are some of your names. What's the word on the first line?
Bless.
What's the word on the second one?
Chosen. Adopted.
Third line.
Accepted, redeemed.
Fourth line.
And forgiven.
And forgiven. Those are the names. Those are our names. Their names are not what people call us. They're not what we call ourselves. Think of release of the saints, not what the names we call ourselves, they're in our names. It's what God calls us. That's who we are. So we don't receive names that people call us, and we don't give them. We don't participate in that. Because we're children of God. We live holier lives than that. Let me pray for you guys. Father God, I pray for these young men here in the front pew. Pray for all of the children of our congregation, our children and grandchildren. Lord, bless them. Let them grow strong in the faith. Let your Holy Spirit guide them, and bless them, and teach them your ways today and every day of their lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we are living in a world that seems at times to be spiraling out of control, with various places in the world suffering with internal and external conflicts. And Lord, we have refugees and migrants moving all over the face of the earth, trying to find safe haven. And Lord, one of the countries that has always held itself up as being a safe haven is now closing its doors. 900,000 people. Lord, what's going on? And what is our response? People are just looking for a safe place to live, to raise their families, to work. And yet there seems to be no safe place for so many. Lord, open our eyes and change our hearts to be a people, a congregation that responds appropriately and generously and sacrificially to these needs. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are unwell, those who are recovering from illnesses. Lord, we pray for health and restoration. Lord, we pray for Gary Taylor, Ernie's nephew, suffering now with diabetes, under medical care. Lord, bring healing to his body, and bring peace, your peace that passes all understanding, to the whole family. Lord, I pray for my daughter Claire in the late stages of her pregnancy, who's now struggling and having difficulty. Lord, I just pray that you'll bring her to full term and deliver what we know as a baby girl, and deliver her safely and healthily. Lord, we pray for all the congregations in Newmarket. Pray for the pastors and the preachers and those who serve. Lord, we pray that your word goes out from every pulpit in this town. Lord, we pray that your spirit will descend on every congregation hearing your word preached today. That hearts will be changed, minds will be changed, lives will be changed. Lord, we pray that your kingdom will grow and expand in this community, starting with us. Lord, we pray that people will turn their backs on the ways of the world, turn their face towards your kingdom and your ways, and seek to live holy and upright lives. Lord, we pray for us specifically at our congregational meeting today, our congregational meeting later on in February. Lord, we pray that we will be in unity. We will seek your spirit, we will seek your wisdom, your guidance. We will move when you say move, we will change when you say change. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit, we need your wisdom, we need your guidance. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In October of 2011, the Associated Press ran a deeply moving story about a name-changing ceremony for girls in Mumbai, India. At birth, these 285 girls had been given the name Nakusa or Nakushi, which means unwanted in the Marathi language of India, a language similar to Hindi. The name unwanted is widely given to girls across India, where families often value sons higher than their daughters. As a result, female babies have been aborted or neglected at an alarming rate. But the renaming ceremony was an attempt to give the girls a new identity. In the article, it was reported that the 285 girls, wearing their best outfits with barrettes, braids, and bows in their hair, lined up to receive certificates with their new names, along with small flower bouquets. Some of the girls chose new names that mean prosperous, beautiful, good, or even very tough. One girl who had been named Nakusa by her grandfather, who was disappointed in her birth, said, "Now in school, my classmates and friends will be calling me by this new name, and that makes me very happy." It's a very touching story, particularly for me, as we're about to give birth to our 11th granddaughter. So girls are very special in our family. The boys are too, but with so many granddaughters, it's a real pleasure and a real joy. So many of us, myself included, have had to endure harsh name calling. Some of us still bear the scars of childhood name calling that has haunted us all our lives. I did have a personal story in there, but I just don't feel I want to tell it right now. But we can be scarred all our lives, well into adulthood, by names that we were called as children.
We humans do seem to relish putting each other down with cruel, hurtful, and demeaning names. As the story indicates, these young girls lived with these damaging names and identities until they were released from their prison that their names had inflicted upon them. Now, some of us have committed some disreputable acts in our lives, and we've been labeled by others, or more hurtful still, we've labeled ourselves by that one act for the rest of our lives. We even find ourselves calling ourselves by put-down names because of some past failure. Anybody here had a past failure? Come on. Both hands. Okay? We're all in that category, right? We've all done something stupid or something bad or something wrong. But here we are. We're in good company. We're in very good company. Abraham lied. Abraham, the father of faith, lied. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Peter rebuked Jesus and then denied him three times. Noah got drunk. Jonah was a racist. Jacob lied. John Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark, deserted Paul on the mission field. Elijah burnt out. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Thomas doubted. Anybody here ever doubted? Okay, you're in good company. Thomas, right there, an apostle of Jesus, doubted. Wasn't sure. I need more information, you say. But he doubted. David was an adulterer and a murderer. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Unless you're a murderer and you want to admit it. Moses had a bad temper. Oh, well, he murdered someone too. So there you are, the great pillars of scripture. Abraham, Peter, Noah, Jonah, Jacob, John Mark, Elijah, Jeremiah, Thomas, David, Moses. All good guys, right? No, they're just people like you and me. Their names are in the book because God called them to do what he called them to do. Now, we never think of naming any of those people by their mistakes, by their sin, would we? We just don't see the connection. We see the work they did for God, and we've actually looked past their failure, their weakness. See, their sin is not their label. And your sin and your weakness is not your label either. We cannot allow ourselves to be identified by what we've done. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? If we all went around carrying the labels that said liar, adulterer, murderer, gossip. Can't allow ourselves to be identified by what we have done. We are identified by what Christ has done for us. What a great day it must have been for those Indian girls, all previously named unwanted. What a wonderful experience to have that label taken away and then be known henceforth by a completely different name. Beautiful, lovely, tough, intelligent. Whatever name they chose. See, the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is an absolute lie. Broken bones and bruises can heal. But words can cause deep wounds and can cripple someone for a lifetime. In our text today, from Ephesians 1:1-14, we're going to read some of the new names and identities we have in Christ. Paul is writing to the believers in Ephesus, and he begins to tell them all that our God and Father has done for us. Now, in your bulletin, in the, I believe the yellow part of the bulletin,
There's a fill-in sheet like this, and I would like you to fill it in as I read through Ephesians 1:1 to 14, because at the end I'm going to ask you to read it back to me. Okay? So everybody got a pen or pencil and fill that in as we go. And read it slowly, so you can fill those passages in. The verses are mentioned there, 3, 4, 5, 7, 11, 12, 13, and 14. So if you're reading in your Bible, try to grab the title word, out of the phrase, out of the verse, and then we'll recap that at the end. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless the reading of your word today. Lord, to open our eyes now and ears and hearts to hear the names you are calling us. Ephesians 1:1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Lord, bless our understanding of your word this morning. Tenses, I don't want to do an English grammar lesson here, but tenses of verbs are very important. Tenses are very important. Paul opens this letter with, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Has blessed us is past tense. It's done. We have spiritual blessing, present tense. It's not a future hope. It's not a promise of things to come. It's present. We have it already. He has already blessed us. Some of us who work in the commercial world, the employment world, you apply for a job and they sit down and you wonder what the salary and benefits are. And occasionally there'll be some future consideration. Well, we're going to review the salaries in 3 months. Maybe we're thinking about possibly having a bonus at the end of the year. We're looking at maybe putting in a dental plan or a medical plan. And these are all like future consideration. Something that might happen in the future. And my personal experience in the business world for over 40 years was that these promises are rarely kept. They're a nice piece of bait on a hook to get you to sign on and become employed. But they're rarely kept. There's always a reason when the time comes that, oh, we're unable to do this at this time because yada, yada, yada. There's always a reason. But with God, it's different. His blessings and his benefits are right now. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. David got this in Psalm 103. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's all present tense. God's blessings are available to us now, unconditionally. That's why Paul writes, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Sometimes we live like the verse says, oh, God might eventually bless us with some spiritual blessings, might in the future, if we would just do this or do that or stop doing this or stop doing that. But the statement is very clear in his opening statement to this church in Ephesus that God has already done this. It's already available, it's on tap, you can draw on it and live in it today. Christ's work is completed, Christ's work is done. There's nothing left to do but accept it as done and receive the benefits of Christ's atoning work and live like it's true. Because it is. Because it is. So there was a time, and possibly a reason, somebody thought that you should be called by a name and be hurt by it. Someone was trying to put you down. But in Paul's letter, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2. You see, name callers are never acting in grace and peace. God's acting in grace and peace. Paul is writing his letter, grace and peace to you. When someone's calling your name or putting you down, their purpose is to pull down and hurt. But Christ's purpose is to raise up and heal. To raise you up and heal you. And if you find that you're speaking negatively to yourself, how many of us have done that at times? Spoken negatively to yourself. Oh, I'm so stupid. I'm such a loser. Right? That's Satan. That is the enemy of your soul. Planting a put down in your own mind. Christ is to heal and raise you up. Satan is to hurt and pull you down. So when you're being hurt and pulled down by someone else or your own inner voice, that's the work of the enemy. Satan wants to destroy you, destroy your faith, undermine your walk with Christ. Okay? Christ wants to give you grace and peace and raise you up. See, in Christ, and this is a phrase that Paul uses throughout Ephesians, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, we have a whole new set of names that we can call ourselves and call each other. Did you fill in the blanks? Did most of you get to fill in the blanks of that sheet? Good, all right. So what I want us to do
I'll lead you through this. I want us all to stand and say a whole bunch of I am statements based on these words. I'm not a loser. I'm not weak. I am. So let's stand and we'll go through this and we'll say, I am. Verse 3, I am what? I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Verse 4, I am chosen before the creation of the world. I am holy and blameless in God's sight. Say that to yourself, I am holy and blameless in God's sight. Verse 5, I am predestined. I am adopted. I'm adopted. I'm a child of God. I am, verse 7, I am redeemed. I am forgiven. In verse 11, again, I am chosen. I've been chosen, verse 12, for the praise and glory of God. Verse 13, I have been marked in Christ with a seal, which is the Holy Spirit. I am marked. I am sealed. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse 14, I am God's, oh, now the people.
Possession.
I am God's possession.
God's
yeah. The praise of His glory. Now I want you to sit down. I want you to turn to the person next to you. Find someone. Okay? And I want you to read through that again and say, you are. I want you to say, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You are chosen. Are we telling each other this? You are chosen. Look, in verse 4, if you go all the way back to Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God thought about me. Then He created the heavens and the earth. It says there that God thought of us, chose us before the creation of the world. So we can go back and, if you like, rewrite a little bit of the first verse of Genesis and say, in the beginning, God chose us. Then He created the heavens and the earth. You are holy and blameless in God's sight. Anybody here feel holy and blameless? No, we don't. Why is that? When Scripture clearly tells us that that's how God sees us, why is it we believe the lie and not the truth? You are holy and blameless in God's sight, Gary. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah, we know we sin, but every time we confess our sins, we're immediately restored and we become holy and blameless in God's sight again. You have been predestined. You have been adopted. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You are chosen for the praise of His glory. You have been marked. And you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. How many of you are aware of that? That you have been marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit? That you are definitely, I have no doubt about it, that I'm a child of God. Okay? Be sure, it's right here in Scripture, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've received Him as Savior, you are holy and blameless in God's sight. You've been marked with a seal, which is the Holy Spirit. You are a child of God. And verse 14, you are God's possession. You are God's possession. Whenever someone's giving you a hard time or putting you down or calling you a name, or that voice comes back of that past thing that you did, that behavior or that lifestyle you once had, and you're constantly reminding yourself of it, take this sheet and read one of them off to yourself. Remind yourself that that thought was a lie, and this list is the truth. That thought, that repeated thought, is a lie. This list is the truth. In Revelation 2:17, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." So even yet, for each one of God's children, there is a new name. Not like those girls who had the name unwanted, and they chose a new name for themselves, but this is a name that God has chosen for you. Don't let Satan bind you or chain you to a false name and a false identity. Don't let critical words that others use against you become your identity. And do not speak falsehoods to yourself. Do not put yourself down. You're a child of God. Stand upright. Put on the armor. Say, "I am a child of God. I am holy and blameless in His sight. I am chosen. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am God's possession." Your identity is not what others say about you. It's not even what you say about you. Your identity, if you're a follower of Jesus, your identity is in Christ. Chosen, holy, blameless, adopted, forgiven, redeemed. God's possession. Sometimes we're chained. We're chained down with the past, with those habits of life that curl around us and get a grip on us. And we're chained to that idea of what we were once. And this message today from Paul in his opening lines, his opening words to the church at Ephesus and the church in Newmarket is none. You're redeemed. You are new creatures. You are God's possession. Let us pray. God, forgive us when we have projected a negative name towards someone else. Lord, we forgive those who projected negative names towards us. Lord, henceforth, remind us each and every moment of each and every day that we are your possession, that you have chosen us, that we are holy and blameless in your sight, that you have adopted us, forgiven us, and redeemed us. Lord, let the chains of the past be broken. Let them fall away. Let us go forward living a new life with these new names that we know are ours. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are who God says you are. You're not the label you've carried for so long. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, no matter how recently, or how weak you may feel about that, or how far you have strayed, when you put your faith in Him, you become a child of God, and He calls you blessed, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, holy, and blameless. Attach one of those names to yourself and keep repeating it to yourself. And go in peace and live like a child of God. Amen.